B-Pod Studios.
Well, you just heard that guy, Timmy. Apparently that still hasn't died in some people.
You didn't think the Fallsian Society was going to give up that easy, did you, Mike?
No, there's still a couple hangers on, and not the general manager and the coach didn't even change their mind yesterday.
They didn't. I will say, you know, credit to Falls for making it at least more of an interesting decision. You know, internally, they've long been tied to Carson Wentz. That wasn't going to change, barring some kind of, I don't know, would it be a crazy run? Then they have a conversation about it. But, you know, they've long identified Wentz as the future of the franchise. But, you know, it's credit to Foles for guiding them to a Super Bowl, resuscitating the season the following year, maybe an Alshon Jeffrey drop away from playing in the title game in Los Angeles this weekend. I mean, so he did a tremendous job. And you can see where some of the debate is still going on, but internally, you know, that debate has been resolved.
Yeah, the ship has sailed. So let's talk about the ramifications. First of all, let's talk about the Jeffrey thing and then the empathy that he's received from the fan base. And that's either that we've evolved into normal human beings or the Super Bowl has mollified us. Which one do you think it is?
Well, I won't say we've all evolved into normal human beings. I don't think that would be right. But I will, and I don't think it's necessarily mollified, but I do think that when people from Philadelphia have long described what this fan base is about, where the anger came from, why the fan base is the way that it is, it's number one because it's passion for the sport that they're following for football, and also because, you know, the Eagles had never reached the mountaintop. And so there was this, you know, buildup of angst and frustration that went from generation to generation to generation. And the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. And I think that it kind of justifies what the explanation of the fan base has been for this long, that they're now acting the way that they're acting. You know, Jason Kelce said it on the Art Museum steps. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off, right? Mm-hmm. And the Philadelphia fan base was pissed off for a long time because they weren't getting fed. And they got fed last year.
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey was one of the guys that fed them. And I think that it shows the intelligence and the amount of compassion that this fan base actually has, that they recognize who Jeffrey is, what he has done, and this was a time where he had to be lifted up instead of kind of trampled down. And so I thought it was a very telling move by the fan base yesterday.
Yes. All right, let's move on to the Foles thing and the options that they have, and which one do you think that they will decide on? They can be very benevolent and say, Nick, you know, just go. You're going to be free agent, and we're not going to pick up the option. They're not going to make you decline it, not to give you the compensatory pick. Then we're not going to franchise you. Where do you think this is going?
All right, so there's two sets of dates that we need to pay attention to. The first one is in respect to the $20 million option that they have for 2019. So they have to exercise that 30 days before the start of the league year, which is right around, let's call it February 10th, where they have to make that decision. And then Foles camp has the option to decline that within 5 days of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the window we're looking at, basically February 11th through the 16th, where that action is going to take place. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense for the Eagles to exercise the option, because they recognize that Foles is probably going to want to buy his way into free agency, given the level of interest that's going to be out there, and he has to give back $2 million to do so. So why not?
Right.
So I think that's where that is going to go. I think that they're going to exercise. I think that Foles is going to decline. All right. So that sets up the next window, which is the franchise tag window. And that's between February 19th and March 5th that the Eagles can decide to place the franchise tag on them. That gets interesting because obviously the reason that you would do that is to trade them. But they have to be damn sure that that's going to happen, because it's $25 million. And the instant that Foles decides to sign the franchise tender, it accelerates to the cap for 2019. They don't have $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an option that they're going to explore. The most likely, at least where I'm sitting right now, seems to be that they'll go through the first exercise with the option and him declining it and then let him walk. But I think that they will explore whether they can apply the franchise tag and orchestrate a trade in which Foles is on board.
All right, now we were talking to Sal yesterday, and on that point, that franchise tag point, he was saying that it may not be as easy as them having that option, that it may be contractual, that they can't put the franchise tag on him. Do you have any knowledge about what specifically might be in the contract that would prevent them from franchising him?
I haven't had any conversation or read anything that suggests that there's something in the contract that prohibits the Eagles from putting the tag on him. So everything points to, from what I've been told and read, that they have that option.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens on that, because you're right. That is a risk. And they dilute the value, too. If everybody knows they have to trade him, they have to declare him in franchise tag, I mean, what are they going to actually get in that kind of a
trade? Yeah, I think that's right. So basically, the way that would come to fruition is because the other part is Foles has to sign the transition tender in order for them to be able to make the trade. So mm-hmm. he has leverage in a couple different respects here. So let's say that there's two parties that are interested. Let's say it's the Broncos and the Jaguars. And they have set up a trade with the Jaguars, for Foles, where they place the franchise tag. The Jaguars are on board, and on the back end, Foles is happy about that kind of situation and wants to do something long term. If you have all those things lined up, where the Jaguars mm-hmm. know they're going to get a long term deal done with Foles, where the Eagles know he's going to be off of their books, and Foles knows that they're going to move him and he's going to a place that he's happy about, then that's where stars align. But it's going to take that kind of situation for it mm-hmm. to work out, which means that it's not a
right.
Company.
So the most likely is they exercise the option. He buys out of it. That everybody wins because they get the compensatory pick down the road, and he gets to choose where he wants to go.
Yeah, and he gets two, and the Eagles get $2 million
$2 million back,
and probably a third round pick in 2020.
All right. Let's look at the personnel decisions now, because there are a ton of them, and I'm just curious to know what your feel is about this. Let's start off with Peters and Sproles. Do they take a chance on either of them that bring them back?
Well, for Sproles, he still has to make the decision whether he wants to retire or not. I don't think that he's made that decision. And I can see a scenario where the Eagles would invite him back at a kind of a veteran minimum salary to be part of a rotation, recognizing that they have to upgrade. But yeah, I can see a scenario if Sproles decides to come back, I think it'll probably be in Philly.
Okay. Peters.
Peters. People keep wanting to move on from Peters, but you have to make that decision of, do you think what's in the can right now, which would be Big V and Taylor Hart or Jordan Mailata, is going to get the job done? Maybe I could see him coming back for another year. Maybe they can agree to some kind of restructure for the contract, but I don't know that it's a slam dunk that Peters is moving on.
All right, let's go with the wide receivers. Tate. And, of course, Aguilar is under contract, but are they that willing to keep him, or would they shut him down as well? And Ajayi also, of those offensive players.
Yeah, I would say they have to make a decision between Tate and Aguilar, assuming Tate would be able to come back at a reasonable number. You know, my guess is that it's going to end up being Aguilar, and they're going to let Tate walk. As far as Ajayi is concerned, that would be another situation. He's coming off of one of the fractured back and a torn ACL. That's not an ideal way to be going into free agency. He's going to be able to be had at a cheaper number. And I think it's a similar situation. If he can get had at kind of a bargain price and you're not banking on him as being your primary, then that's a situation where he could come back.
All right, let's go defensively. Mm-hmm. Graham, Darby, Hicks, and Bennett Jernigan, status of all of them.
Yeah, Darby I would say no to. I think that they have enough in the hopper where that doesn't necessarily make sense. With Graham, I believe that their hope is that he comes back on a discount. I think that Graham might do that because he loves Philly and wouldn't mind having his career here. But when you get in free agency, things can change. You can start feeling rejected by your current team. You can start feeling the love from another team who's going to get more money. So the answer is he can get more money on the open market. He's going to be wooed by that, and then he's going to have to make the decision whether he wants to come back at a discount or not. But I think he might end up getting caught up in the free agency kind of love and might move on elsewhere. Jernigan, you know, there's a lot of incentive to bring him back. I think that he showed that he was moving past the back injury and is a nice 1-2 punch on the interior with Fletcher Cox. And then Jordan Hicks is going to be a matter of money, really. I mean, I don't think that they're going to put wheelbarrows of cash in for the guy because of his injury history. But if they can get him at a good number, they'd certainly like to have him back.
All right, Bennett.
Yeah, I think Bennett comes back. Okay. I mean, especially if Graham walks. Yeah, you're going to need some guys who can produce off the edge, and I think that Bennett was a very, very productive player.
All right, last question. Tim McManus, covering Eagles for ESPN.com. Draft priority, what position is it?
I would say defensive line.
Defensive line?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, there's other needs. I think that, like, you look at running back and you say that's a need over maybe what they have defensive front, but it's not a priority over that when you're talking about high up in the draft and how they value positions. But defensive line, Howie Roseman called it historic in terms of both defensive tackle and defensive end. I think they need a youth infusion along the front. They got a lot of older guys there, some guys that are pondering retirement like Chris Long, free agents like Brandon Graham. Bennett has a chronic foot issue. So I think that they're going to have to go defensive front, get healthy there, replenish along the lines.
Interesting. Would they dare take a shot at Kareem Hunt?
I guess that's another one that we're going to have to explore in this offseason. He definitely fits, obviously, the system. I mean, he's in Andy Reid's system, and he thrived there, and Peterson's system is very similar, and would give them the type of lead back slash threat out of the backfield that they really need. But there's so much that you'd have to explore and investigate and, everything that comes with that. So I'd say they probably won't go down that road, but it's one worth reporting out, and that's part of what I'll be doing this offseason.
All right, perfect. Timmy, thanks a lot. Great info. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike.
There he is, Tim McManus, brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice. For accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse, remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.